All right, Greg. Well, I'm honored to connect with you and serve you in this role in a coaching chair. I know we've connected previously before, but I am honored to dive into one specific area that could really help unlock whatever needs to be unlocked today. As I tell almost everyone, this is one big sandbox that we're playing in. There's nothing right or wrong about what's going to happen today. But I'm honored to serve you in this capacity. So with that, Greg, what would make our time together meaningful for you right now?
I think one of the things that I've thought about in the last couple of years, I retired from the military in 2023. I'm always the guy that people came to and asked that very question. I would ask them, how can I serve you? And I was the guy that had to give. And I think it's interesting sitting in the seat of what's the word, a coachee, and having somebody listen and hear and be empathetic to me. So I think that's, that's what I've been that's what I've been thinking about a lot recently, how much I need to be able to receive from other people.
I almost feel like we could just like hit pause there and like completely stop the conversation. 'Cause like for those listening to this recording, like the posture of being able to receive is hindering so many people from their next level of performance. What makes the posture of receiving important to you? And what has happened that's kind of made that revelation as well?
I'll tell you, during a season when I was doing some academic work, the professor asked us to record a video and describe our favorite chair. And I thought about that and I watched some other people respond. And one guy sat on his Harley. He loved to go riding. And another guy sat on a seat in his on his boat behind the steering wheel of the boat because he loved a boat. And I thought about how I and when I did when I was responding, I thought about the time that I sat in my stateroom on the ship, and it was a small room, and it doubled as my office. And I sat as the chaplain in the chair, and I gave presents to those who came in and sat across the room in the other chair. So I think as I and that's always been my posture. I've always wanted to be the one giving. 2023 and 2022, we may or may not get into all of this, but I had to learn a posture of receiving. It's not natural for me. I don't like to be dependent on other people. It's pretty common amongst guys, and it was especially prevalent amongst the guys and the women in the culture that I served before. It was exceedingly hard to wrap my mind around the idea that I needed help from other people to get where I wanted to go, tangibly. I mean, I physically could not drive, so I had to literally depend on other people to get me places. So I guess it's a long way around a response, but that's what I wanted them to be able to receive from me. I wanted to give them presents. People deserve and need presents. And I've been realizing and understanding now that I'm on the other side of that career that I need to receive. I need to take what other people are offering. So not a natural bent, but that's what my mind goes to, that video where I describe my favorite chair as the one where I was sitting across from somebody giving them my presents.
Well, for clarity, where do you want to drive this conversation towards? What would be the focus to help you be able to sit in that chair of receiving?
Well, there's two things that I wrote down. I always try to come up with a phrase or a word that describes what I want the year to come to be. And so I wrote down possibilities, and I wrote down new beginnings, because those are the two most important things to me. So I think as we talk, those are the things that I'm unpacking as I'm contemplating what this year will bring. 2023 was just a limiting year in a lot of ways. And so I need to grab on to the idea that there are possibilities and, new beginnings at my stage of life is not an easy concept for me to grab onto. As you get older, you start to get more set in your ways, and the years start to add up, and you have fewer years left, and all these different things come up. So I think those are the things. Those could be themes for how I think those would be great themes for our conversation. Those are things that I need to think about.
Well, the idea of new possibilities, a new horizon, and yet you hold it in tension with, sitting in the posture of receiving. It almost has to bring something new in you, birth something new in you that is really uncultivated at this point. If that is true, what is it that you anticipate that God is trying to birth in you right now with new possibilities?
I guess to be vulnerable, I've wrestled for a long time with I'm not good enough. I've always felt like I'm a little bit behind my peer group. All the way back to my earliest years, I've always felt like I'm just a little bit behind. And yet I have, and I don't I'd never I don't like to talk about my accomplishments, but I have what mo many people would consider to be a lot of accomplishments. So I don't know why. I have some sense. I've studied this for a while, but so when I think new possibilities and new beginnings, it's like, well, I want to, I'm not done yet. I left one organization I chose to, but also my health caught up with me. But I still have something to give. And so believing that, and I just wrote it in my journal this morning. And it was a question that I hadn't acknowledged before, but it was, is what I have to offer something that somebody wants? I phrase it a different way, but that's essentially what I like. What is it that I have to offer somebody? Are they going to receive it? Because I believe I have something. It's just, it's hard to, it's that, so yeah, that's, I guess I'll leave it at that. I don't want to, I could go on and on with my answers, but I think that's probably where I ought to leave it with just, I've always felt a little bit behind, and maybe I'm not good enough.
Well, thank you for taking a risk to name that, to step into that, and I just want to honor, what that must even feel like to be able to say that out loud as men, right? I think if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we all feel behind to varying degrees, and I think that's an opportunity that you're describing. It's like, okay, what do I do with this opportunity, this season of life, my next phase, a legacy phase per se, the next decade. What is it that you want right now? How can I best support you in this conversation?
Well, I think it's I have a I have an area of passion. I have an area of I deeply believe in the need for men, for Christian leaders in general, maybe it's men in particular, to take care of their souls. And I'm a clergy person. I'm not professionally doing that right now, but that's what I've done for my most of my adult life. And I think it's it's easy for pastors, clergy to become professional in their faith. That's they're expected to do that. And so I think it's I think the way that I guess my answer would be, the possible how is it, how can I hold on to the passion that I have and find opportunities to share that passion with people and believe that they want that in their own lives. They want to be healthy as people, as individuals, as leaders. And I don't know if that's what you're driving to with your question, Lance, but that's what comes to mind.
So a little vocational discernment appears to be the new possibility, the horizon, trying to figure out how to use this gift outside of the traditional context of an employer relationship now.
Yeah, that's really yeah. That's a great way to summarize what I just said because that is something that's a value. I'm not entirely opposed or closed to the idea of working inside of an organization. But I've done that my entire adult life, and I want to do something different. And so believing that the entrepreneurial journey is possible, believing that the wisdom and the experience can be, for lack of a better word, packaged in a way that brings value. And the ultimate goal is to bring value. I have a lot of life left, and I have wisdom that I've gleaned over the years that I'm committed to give. So yeah, I think that's probably a good, we a lot of times we military folks say when somebody asks us, what we're going to do in the future, and we'll respond with, well, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. It's like that's just that's the mo the very a very common refrain because I think that's just a real statement. Like we don't know in some regards. We have had been identified, and maybe this is not just in military. It's just that's the context of men. We commonly I have been defined by what I do, and I'm leaning into to being, learning how to be. So, yes, vocation, discernment, understanding the direction for the future is a good focal point for our conversation.
So let's suppose, let's just keep it in a short time frame, a year from now, that you remember this conversation and it provides the clarity, the next step for you. What would you be saying a year from now about this conversation and the stories that have transpired?
Well, the most important thing to me, well, first of all, I guess putting it into the personal context, my wife and I will be continuing to thrive as we've learned or learning, continuing to learn how to navigate life as our children are both grown and on their own. I have a passion in my heart to write, and I want to I'm actively engaged in writing a book. So a year from now, that book will be the proposal will be completed, will be have been accepted, and a manuscript will have been delivered. That would be the number one goal. And then the secondary goal, and maybe it's alongside, is I want to package my content into an online course, mastermind experience, and that those three things would be well underway, if not published, at least well underway.
Okay. How does receiving allow those things to become true? How does the posture of raising your hand, asking for help, being assertive begin to allow you to make all those things true? Mastermind, a course, some coaching.
Well, it's first of all, publishing. I have to write in a way. If you're familiar with the Enneagram, I'm a type one, so everything has to be right. And if it's not right, it shouldn't be published until it is right. And I can get stuck in the loop of always correcting and always fixing and never hitting publish. So I've disciplined myself to write and post blog posts that I often go back and correct, but it's because I need to. And I published some videos. They weren't very good videos, but it was me stepping into some areas of discomfort. I don't really like to do video work. I don't know how to do it. These are the things that I say to myself. I think I'm straying from your question. Can you repeat your question again?
Well, how do those goals begin to come to reality as you sit in the chair of receiving?
Well, for all of them, it's asking for help. I don't know how to pitch a book proposal to a publisher. I don't know how to do video very well. I don't know what platforms to use. I'm learning those things, and I'm learning those things because I'm asking questions. I'm working with people to help me understand some of the dynamics of how these different things work. So I guess for me, the posture is I'm acknowledging, which is not easy for me to acknowledge. I don't know everything. I don't like people to know that I don't know how to do something. But I'm becoming more comfortable with saying, you know what, I don't know how to do that. That's not, that's, I don't know. Please help me. So I think, I mean, I think that's, I was always the guy with the answers. Hey, Chaps, how can you, how, what can I do about this? And I'd offer them advice. I'd give them whatever life skill or wisdom or whatever it was that came out of my experience. And, you know, so that's the posture that I've taken for all of these years. So I guess the succinct way to say it is I'm learning how to acknowledge I don't know how to do something and that I need some help and I need somebody to teach me. And you know what? Most of the time, those people are younger than me. And I place myself purposefully, our church is a very young pastoral staff. The guy that preaches on a fairly regular occasion is 33 years old. I have decades more experience than he does. But I'm choosing to place myself in an environment where I can glean from those who have that are in a different season of life. So I guess those would be ways, asking questions, purposefully placing myself in, I don't like the word subordination, but you know, I'm not the guy on the stage leading on Sunday. Somebody else is. I'm sitting in the pew and serving where I can. So I guess those would be ways that I would respond.
How would you like to continue this conversation as some things begin to unravel? Like, what are you hearing right now that would be worth your interest or curiosity to chase right now?
Well, so I think to circle back to those two themes that I brought up earlier, possibilities and new beginnings. How do I stay in a posture of, we talked a while ago, and one of the things that you said in that conversation is it's easy for people at my season of life, and anybody who's viewing can see that I've got an almost white beard, so I'm obviously I'm in a different season of life, maybe than many of your listeners, or viewers. I think it's I want to continue to have the passion to do the things that God's called me to do, and to keep understanding and to keep leaning into God's not done with me yet, and that I still have something to offer, and that. So how do you, so I guess it's, you know, how do I continue to lean into possibilities, and being in this receiver mode? And again, I'm not sure if that's what you're driving towards, but that's what resonates with me as I think about how do I How do I continue to lean into possibilities when things aren't going to work? I'm 2024 is going to go by, and we're going to be sitting here next year. I'm going to be sitting here and reviewing my notes from the year and how things went. And not everything's going to go the way I want it to go. I'm in the throes of like an excitement. The new year is beginning, and I got all these possibilities in front of me. 2023 is over, and there's going to be a messy middle. In the middle of the writing process, in the middle of course creation process, in the middle of personal things will happen. Who knows what will happen? The election season, whatever. So I guess that I would say Lee, I need to continue, and I think the framework maybe in our conversation could be, how do I continue to lean into possibilities and stay fresh?
So you mentioned the Enneagram and being a one, right? There's a high drive of having things perceived in this box, all nice and tight. And you're stepping out in courage to write to do things that are uncomfortable for you, based on what you said with just being on video and putting yourself under submission of other people that are younger than you. These new possibilities that you want. What are the fears that you're holding on to right now possibly aren't allowing you to sit in this chair of receiving?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to be, I want to be published by a traditional publisher. My writing's not good enough. I don't have enough of a platform. I don't do video very well. I don't have the right lighting. I don't have the right equipment. I mean, those are like really pragmatic things. But and that's and th those that's why I've continued to put things to try new things, because I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to get to, well, I've done it. I'm at this point where I can just drop the pack and not and and just everything's, and I am slowing down. I do want to slow down. I purposely have made that a value of mine for this season of my life, but I'm not done yet. Yeah, so I guess it's the, it goes back to belief in myself. I'm way past the I'm not a young guy writing a book now that's gonna, be an instant bestseller that has a massive platform and all these things. And so what if somebody says no? No is the hardest thing for me to receive, honestly. Criticism. I don't like to be criticized. That's why I don't like people to know that I don't know things. I'll dissemble an answer even if it doesn't make sense, just because I don't want them to think I don't know the answer. So those are all sticking points, that and that Enneagram one goes into a lot of those things where I really just the need to be right. It creates dynamics in my wife and I's relationship. She communicates in a very different way than I do. It's no less, it's no better or worse. In many ways, my need for it to be said in a specific way is that's worse than just the general acceptance of the way people speak. So I think all of those things play into this conversation.
All right, so I'm going to try to chase down like where your heart and your mind's trying to go. I guess right now in this conversation, I know you're saying new possibilities. I've heard, these dreams and visions books and course and so forth. What if you could say one thing in particular that you're trying to discern right now in our conversation, what is it that you're trying to discern?
How do I not be done yet? I'm not done. And yet it seems in some ways that And I'm not pursuing opportunities other than the things that I've talked about, but everybody's young and everybody is going up, and I'm at the point where I'm beginning to be plateaued, and I don't want that, because I still have something to give. So I guess that's when I if to respond with that one simple phrase is how do I continue to believe that I'm not done yet? How do I lean into that? Does that make
Greg,
sense and answer the question?
let me poke there for a minute. When you mentioned that, there was this just kind of this relief, almost visibly, like when you said that. What did you feel on the inside when you mentioned that I'm not done yet?
I guess, I don't know for sure. When I say it, I'm pointing out my office door. I don't have anybody knocking on my door anymore. I don't have people coming and asking me for advice. But I still have a burning passion within me that I know people that I know leaders need to hear. And to I guess to verbal just to verbalize it, because it's something that I feel consistently. I know I said I sit willingly, sit under submission to men who are younger than me. But there's also a part of me, and my wife, if she were here, would tell you, Greg still is chomping at the bit to offer something to somebody. He still wants to be able to give out of the experiences that out of his story. We all have stories. Our stories have meaning. And so maybe I guess the relief is that I acknowledge it. I said it. And it's also to say it. I don't want people to think I'm done yet. I'm not done yet. I don't know. That's interesting that you would pick up my attitude, my lightness changed when I said it.
Well, I think it's a noble, worthy endeavor. I mean, let's face it, in our North American culture, we live in a culture of shame, right? When somebody retires, it's like they're headed to the grave. But the great thing is like you have a song that's still singing deep within your heart, you know, whatever God chooses to give you, right? Chooses to give any of us. I'm gonna ask one question. And I'm going to ask it three times. It's not for the sake of, I don't have any other questions to ask, but I'm going to see if we can peel back some other layers here. What is beautiful about your flaws?
Man, what is beautiful about my flaws? Wow. Well, I guess I'll respond with to the first time you asked this question by saying that it's really important that I'm not perfect. I don't I've In a different kind of way, I might struggle a little bit with pride, but it's more of I don't need to prove myself to anybody. I've never felt like I needed to prove myself to anybody. I did want certain people to see me in a certain way, but I really didn't care what people thought of me. So, and I think that's been helpful for me over the years. It's helped me not to. So the beautiful thing is that's helped me not to identify too much with my doing.
What is beautiful about your flaws?
My wife loves me in spite of my flaws. She accepts me, and she gives me grace when my flaws come out.
What is beautiful about your flaws?
My flaws, which are many, have kept me humble over the years. Have kept me from they've kept me from I think the beautiful thing is that my flaws have kept me from thinking too more highly of myself than I should be thinking of myself.
Greg, what are you learning about yourself right now?
Man. Well, I'm learning that it's this seat is pretty hard to be in. It's not easy to be vulnerable. It's easy to be the one asking other people to be vulnerable. I think, I it's a re the question and my responses have reminded me that that I am I guess in a unique way it's reminded me that I'm a person of value in the in even with the flaws, that the flaws don't minimize my personhood.
What would you like to do at this point in our conversation?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not really sure what to, I guess it's just, I don't know. I don't know what, how I should respond. These are things that I need to lean into. Yeah, I don't know at this point.
I think if I can just insert for a moment, I think oftentimes, it's in some of these coaching conversations, it's easy to jump to what's next. Let's come up with one, two, three. Let's do these things. But the reality is, I think the true unlock for all of us happens at an interior level, right? That's a hard place to go to, especially when you've spent, like yourself, you spent decades serving others in a chaplain role in the military for high performers and successful people. And so now all of a sudden it's like, okay, how do I transform all this beauty and continue to serve others despite my flaws, right? And how do I show up in a way that I'm seen, loved, accepted, and I don't have to perform for anybody, but still use this wonderful gift of serving people. What if I could be wrong? In this culture of ours of performing, achieving, doing the next thing, I'm curious if your heart would be set free by slowing down and doing one thing well this year.
Yeah, it would be. I that's a I wholeheartedly agree with you. That it's very, very easy. Procrastination wise, it's one of the ways I procrastinate. I put too many things on my plate, and I tackle a lot of different things, and then the one thing isn't done with the kind of excellence that it needs to be done with. So absolutely, that's a valuable that's key. In my life at this season.
How could that reveal a new possibility for you? I mean, because earlier I heard, all these grand things that are great, nothing wrong with those. But how does slowing down and saying, you know what, I can do one thing well and allow the beauty of my flaws to be seen in this one thing really well, versus this idea of doing a lot of things and trying to wear the burden and the pressure of what Enneagram language of ones would be, perfection, right? And that begins to paralyze you, just like you said. So what new possibility does this make for you if you do one thing really well this year?
I think, I think there's a couple of things that I would say in response to that. I know the one thing, and the one thing is writing, and that's the one thing that's most important to me at this season of my life. The other things are more tangible because there's more income possibilities. But they are definitely, writing is not one of those things where I feel a lot of barriers. I get into all the different things that are part of building a course, doing video work. All of that is friction. And I landed on this thing a long time ago about lowering the amount of friction in my life. I have workout equipment in my home, and I have coffee made the night before, so it's ready in the morning. And I have all, I've worked very hard to lower the friction in my life. And it was before I ever decided to retire from the military. So it's freeing to, and you're not the first who said this to me, Greg. You got a lot of things you're thinking about doing. And it's probably you need to whittle it down. The goal list can be really long. I did manage to keep only three goals on my list for this year. But they were all focused around generally around the same thing, this whole idea of soul care for leaders. So there is a theme. But yeah, if I go too broad, then the one thing that's the most important to me will take a lot longer to do than I want it to take. So
What does that mean for right now?
well, that means that I stay focused in quarter one on completing my book proposal and completing a good chunk of my manuscript. That's the goal for this quarter. What it means for quarters after, it depends on where I get, how far along I get in this quarter. Because what I don't want is to lose the, well, I don't want to caveat it too much. I don't. I also have to set, because part of it's because of my season of life, right? We've talked about I don't want to stagnate. I don't want to stop. Being okay with being in a slowed down phase of my life, but also not, but I got to set aggressive goals to keep. I've never worked as an entrepreneur before. I've always had structure around me, and now I'm building my own structure. So getting lost in the busyness of the journey that I'm trying to engage in is a very real danger, and a sense of overwhelm. And so keeping things simple will help me to focus on the most important thing that I want to accomplish in 2024.
What friction does that mean that you need to say no to in order to have peace, at least this first quarter, if not even beyond this first quarter?
Well, yeah, that's a good question. I have learned to say no much more often than I've learned to say yes. I very rarely say yes. Because I don't there's and I have a very clear set of priorities, and very so there's very few people that I'll say yes to. So I think it. I think really it's just a matter of staying true to the one thing that's the most important, and consistently saying no to the things that who knows what kind of opportunities will come in 2024 as I begin to be more established here and find my way amongst all the different kinds of people that I know. But there's very few things that I'm going to say yes to because I have a goal. I have a thing that I want to do, and that has resonated in my spirit for 5 years. And so this is saying no is the most important thing. Saying no to everything else, most everything else.
I'm discerning and listening to you and the beginning part of our conversation about how new possibilities, new horizons, you've got all these things, right? But you feel behind, you don't feel like you're enough. But it's really like this integration and this intersection of how do you make sense of this conversation, at least for today? And I'm not sure if the metaphor will come to the, I think it's the prism. When you were talking just now, I was thinking about a prism of how when Greg gets this book out into the world, that becomes the new opportunity, new horizon. But what's in front of you is this deep heartbeat to get this book out, right? And the friction is the videos, the not feeling like I can do what somebody 25 or 35 is doing in our media age. So how does that, just as I echo our conversation back to you, how does that begin to allow you to see what is next?
Well, a book opens up a whole new realm of possibilities. People don't know who you are. I mean, this is like a very generalized statement. I need to get this book out the door. This is what's resonated in my spirit for all these years. Repeat your question so that I'm addressing the right question, please.
Well, just how does the reflection of our what I've echoed back help you begin to take your next step?
It just reminds me. It reminds me of what was important to me last year. It reminds me of what I wrote as I reflected on what and previewed what I want 2024 to be. It takes me back to this consistent. This question has been asked of me before, and this is always the last 2 years. This has been my answer. I want to finish a book. That's my one thing. So it's a filter for taking out the things that distract me from that.
Well, let's see if we can bring the conversation home here with this idea of receiving and this book. In order to get this book done, you're going to have to get real comfortable at the seat of receiving, right? So with that, what support do you need? How do you begin to ask your and raise your hand for help? Like, what is the structure around you that's going to allow you to be successful? The ingredients of all this, of people that can rally around Greg to support him, and like really this courage of being authentic to say, man, I need help because this is a desire that I want to get out into the world, but I don't think it can happen unless I ask for that help. So what is that help that you need to begin to ask for?
I don't, not very many people know in my immediate circle know that I'm writing a book because not very many people, what's the stat is like 80% of people say they want to write a 80% of adults say they want to write a book. And what's the percentage? It's less than 10% that actually do it. And I don't ever want to come off as like, oh, that makes me special. So I hesitate to talk with hardly anybody about it. But I was thinking about there's I've never been good at accountability. Okay, I'm admitting something. That's just the reality of I don't like asking for help, and I've lived in accountable. Professionally accountable relationships, but it's hard for me to do it in a more personal way. But I have a group. We're finally forming a solid small group in our community group through our church that we are really resonating with. And I'm in a men's group that I'm beginning to have some conversations with the leader of that. I need people local sitting with me over coffee, willing to converse with me about what I'm discovering as I'm going through this writing process, checking in with me. Doing things in my, I have a mastermind that I'm in related to my book, to the book writing process. But what I need are face-to-face conversations with people. So it's finding the right way to bring it up without it being this, oh, I'm special because I'm writing a book. I don't ever want to come off that way. So I guess the way I would respond is, how do I need to get over, maybe I need to get over myself, acknowledge this is something that I'm doing, and I need help with, I need local people that are helping me and encouraging me along the way. Everybody knew that this guy that I heard about last Saturday, he's now in New Mexico coaching football. And he pursued that for a decade. So he obviously shared that desire that he had to go off and be I don't think he's a head coach. I think he's one of the coordinators. And how many guys really want to are capable of pursuing that kind of thing? So that's just that's it. That's the analogies. How do you how making sure that it comes off in the right way? But hey, I really need your help. And I really want and value your feedback because I need it. I need it from all kinds of different leaders, different Christian leaders. I know the clergy world. I don't know a lot of other forms, I don't know all the ins and outs of being a business leader and being a local church pastor and all these other kinds of leadership. I know what I believe a leader needs. So it's asking, it's being willing and able, and maybe being confident enough, comfortable enough to ask and to talk about it in a humble way and ask for help and ask them to be on a team of people that are supporting me and encouraging me along the way. Because you know what? I think a lot of them would like to do it. A lot of them would be excited about it. I would just ask.
I love the energy there, just at the end. So let's fast forward. I'm going to put my own perceived constraints around it. You can take it or leave it. 2 weeks from now, you've rallied a few guys together, and you're sitting in a seat of receiving from them, drinking coffee, saying, "Hey, I want to get this book out in the world." You're sharing your heart's desire around it. What do you feel in that moment when you begin to receive that local support from those people?
Well, so there's two things that come to mind. One is, first of all, it's people that are interested in what I'm doing, and that feels very good to me. But the other part of it that scares me is, alongside that will come some criticism. I'm not sure I would agree with this. I don't like this approach, whatever. That's the second part, is the part that doesn't feel comfortable. So those are the two things that I feel: a great deal of love and support and passion and encouragement. And maybe in that early conversation, the criticism wouldn't come, but that will come at some point. So those are the two things that I feel. So
Well, Greg,
scared, supported.
I mean, I'm honored by your time, your authenticity, and this desire to be more spacious, to take up more space in the room and the chair that you're sitting in, to be able to receive. I'm gonna allow you to complete the conversation. What would make this conversation complete for you today? How would you like to finish?
Lance, I would, first of all, I've really loved the questions that you've asked me and allowing me to be in the seat of a receiver. And I think a great way to end it, not to spiritualize everything, but I think a great way to end it would be to offer a prayer. I think I'm understanding and learning again as a clergyman. I don't pray as often as I should. So praying, being prayed for, and allowing me to pray for you, I think that would be a great way to end the conversation.
Could I offer my own perceived challenge? And I'm happy to for you to deflect it. I'd
Certainly.
be honored to pray for you and allow you to receive that without the need to reciprocate. I'm open to receiving prayer. I'm not saying that, but to even be aware of just being able to receive prayer without the need to offer somebody else prayer.
I will absolutely receive that. That's the
All right.
chaplain in me coming out, Lance. So there you go.
Oh, Father, you're so good. Thank you for brotherhood, for fellowship. God, thank you for your spirit, your counselor, the one that advocates for us. God, I place myself and I place Greg into your loving care. You know our heart's desires far more than what we could ever begin to articulate. You know our deepest fears and our anxieties that hold us back. Father, so in this moment, I ask that in the name, the power, and authority of Jesus, that whatever is binding Greg, that he will break those chains, not by his own accord, but by receiving the full measure and authority of the work of Jesus upon his life. God, and we trust the days and the decades ahead into your loving care, that as you begin to do a new work and birth this book in and through Greg, that as he shares his life story, his life's work, it ultimately becomes something that echoes in eternity. It becomes something that affects not only the two or three people that will become his board of advisors as he does this work, but it will affect lives that he will never know about. So, Father, I ask that he will walk in the full strength, the full measure of who you've created him to be as a beloved son. And that his best gifts, his best days are still fully ahead of him. And especially as men who know that resurrection is coming. This life is so temporary. So God, help us to hunger and thirst for you in incredible ways that we know the best and brightest days are always ahead of us until your son returns. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this gift. And thank you for everybody that's listening. May you be blessed as well on your journey. We pray all this in the name, power, and authority of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Absolutely.